preaching, but it seems God's nudged me just a little bit different. So I want you to turn, and I'd like to bring you a message that I believe will be a blessing. Usually I like to preach this message when Squire's along with me, and we work it together. But we have Don here tonight. He can help me when I need him. Amen?
Amen.
We want to use this subject. If you have your Bibles, you follow. If you want to make notes, that's good. And the title of it is, Let Thy Light Shine, America. Let Thy Light Shine, America. I'd like to say to the preachers and the preachers' wives and the mothers and the fathers, I believe America is in her darkest, most crucial hour.
Amen.
Now, we've been through hard places before, and we've been through strange places. America went through the Great Revolution, which God gloriously gave us victory in. We made it through the Civil War by the grace of God, World War I, and, of course, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. But, folks, we're coming down to something now in America that's a little different. The enemy is not so far away now. It's right here in our midst in America. And unless we have a mighty visitation of God through the Spirit, I fear for our nation. I fear for the heritage that God gave us, lest it be taken from us. So you listen tonight and pray. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew, if you will, chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 14. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now that scripture is applicable to the individual, to the church, to the nation, to the community. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. On July the 4th, 1776, the 13 colonies of Great Britain and America declared their independence of the mother country. The oppression and the tyranny of Great Britain could be tolerated no longer. The American colonies wanted to be free. We wanted freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, and freedom of assembly. For 8 long years, our forefathers fought, dying and bleeding, that we might be free tonight under God. On April the 19th in 1783, George Washington declared the war at an end. The final treaty was signed September the 3rd, 1783. The Constitution was adopted as the supreme law of the land on June the 21st in 1788. After much prayer and seeking God's guidance, America set out to become the greatest nation under the sun. God smiled on this infant land. Progress was made by leaps and bounds. Freedom was glorious, and we became the symbol of the free people to the whole world. Truly, this land of America became the land of the free and the home of the brave. God blessed us more and more. We became the great spiritual leaders and symbol to the whole world. Revival fires burned. Missionaries went forth. Camp meetings flourished. Churches sprang up. Industries boomed until we became the best fed spiritually and physically of all the people in the world. In 2 Chronicles 26, what made Uzziah great and what made Uzziah prosper and how children God put his hand on him and used him is comparable to America in our infant days. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5, we find that Uzziah sought the Lord. And this is a picture of us in our infant days. He sought the Lord. Look at it, verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. America, as a young nation in its embryonic stage, sought the Lord for guidance, and God blessed her more and more. America soon became known as a Christian nation, a God-fearing nation. God raised up men of God to stand in the gap and point America to God each time she began to drift away. As long as this nation sought the Lord, God prospered her. Look at verse 5 again, 2 Chronicles 26. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. From a little handful of God-fearing pilgrims, America arose from adversity to awesomeness. We rose from basefulness to blessedness. We rose from commonplaceness to conciliatoriousness. We rose from despair to daring. Just as little Israel today faces an unfriendly, warring world, and yet they're not afraid, but they're full of courage. So were we at one time. America feared no one. We stood on our two hind feet and dared the world to step on our toes. We believed in God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. We believed in righteousness. We believed in honesty. We believed in freedom. We believed in profit and gain from our labors. We believed in law and order. We believed in respecting the other man's property. We believed in morals. We believed in the punishment of the criminal and the protection of the citizen. We believed in a God-fearing, Christ-honoring heritage for our children. We believed in being the strongest physically, spiritually, and mentally of all other nations. We believed in having the biggest and the best army in the world. We believed in having the biggest and the best Navy, the biggest and the best Air Force, Coast Guard, and Marines. We believed in having the biggest and the best. We believed in strong discipline in every walk of our life. We believed that by so living, God would be honored and pleased, and so it was. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. America rose from an embryonic, insignificant little nation to entrenched greatness among the nations of the world. We rose from fainting to fame, from groping to greatness, from helplessness to honorableness. We rose from insignificance to immensity. We rose from juvenility to Jeffersonianism. We rose from kink to kingsman, from littleness to largeness, from minuteness to magnanimity, from naiveness to nationalism, from obscurity to objectivism. We rose from puniness to proudness, from quaking to quietness, from restlessness to revival, from setbacks to security. We rose from trouble to triumph, from uncertainty to uniformity. We rose from vacillation to victory, from weakness to wonderfulness, from xenophilia to excellence. We rose from the young to the true yokeful of the world. We rose from zero to zenith, all because we sought the Lord and honored God in our embryonic state. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this was America's track record as long as she sought the Lord. What made America great? What made America great? At one time, we were the light of the world. Our light shined brighter, farther, more powerful, hopeful, more beautiful, and more blessed than all other lights among the nations of the world. We stood head and shoulders above the rest of the world. What made us great? What made us great? One little word. If you try real hard, you might memorize it and remember it next week. It's only got three letters in it. G-O-D. God. A little word, but an unlimited God. Think about it. What made America great? God. An unchanging God. That's what made us great. As long as America believed in an unchanging God, and as long as we honored God, God honored us. And unless we come back to that, ladies and gentlemen, I fear for the future of our dear land. And the only thing in these dark hours that will keep you and me from going crazy, the only thing that would keep our nation from shipwreck, would be, once again, a return to the God of our fathers. Amen. Thank God that we have an unchanging God. We believed in an unchanging God. We honored an unchanging God. We prayed to an unchanging God. We worshiped an unchanging God. We sang to an unchanging God. We believed that God was our God and that He was an unchanging God. What God is now, He was yesterday. What God was yesterday, He is now. And what God will be tomorrow, He is now. And what God will be in the future, He was in the past. What He was in the past, He is today. And what He is today, He will forever be. He's an unchanging God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is eternally what He is, and He cannot change. He is God. He's God Almighty. Daniel 7:9 said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did see it, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. Thank God, ladies and gentlemen, we honored an unchanging God. And if we're going to ever be saved from the chaos that lies ahead, we must return to the God of our Father. God is unchangeable in His essence. God is unchangeable in His nature. God is unchangeable in His perfections. God is unchangeable in His attributes. God is unchangeable in His power. God is unchangeable in His decrees. God is unchangeable in His purpose. God is unchangeable in His grace. God is unchangeable. And as long as we served and honored this unchanging God, God blessed us more and more. God, ladies and gentlemen, is an unchanging God. God wants nothing. God loses nothing, and God needs nothing. God is eternally self-satisfied in His eternal holiness. And, ladies and gentlemen, He self-existed in Himself. God does eternally, unchangeably exist by Himself without any new nature, without any new thought, without any new will, without any new purpose, without any new place, or without any new decree. God is immutable, everlastingly God, a very God. He's unchangeable. And as long as America honored that unchangeable God, ladies and gentlemen, God blessed us more and more and more. And I want you to know tonight that God will continue to bless us if we will come back to this God of our fathers. Years ago, I used to preach with a good special friend of mine by the name of Evangelist Paul Stewart. Some years ago, he was preaching at a 4th of July ceremony, and he gave some words about this great land of ours. As I continue this message, I'd like to insert a few of those words right here. He entitled it, God Bless America. Psalm 67, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon earth and thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou so judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth, Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. God Bless America was one of the most popular slogans and mottos and songs of the Second World War. You folks that were living then and you men who were in the service and you mothers and fathers remember that the slogan of America was God Bless America. Yes. It was sung in our churches. It towered from our skyscrapers. It decked our college chapels and adorned our Senate houses. It was stamped upon emblems and woven into banners. It swept the highways on automobile windshields. It soared the placid blue on airplane transports and plowed the seven seas with our merchant marines. It is indelible and undeniable that God has blessed America, the God of eternal peace, the God of history, and the God of infinity holds the destiny of the nations in the palms of His hand. The intelligent and benevolent providence of God is clearly and plainly manifested that He reserved and preserved this magnificent continent of immeasurable and inexhaustible resources down across the ages until He had a prepared people to possess and populate this prepared land. And that's America. While Homer sang and Hannibal fought, and Rome rose and fell. The mighty Mississippi rolled majestically toward the Gulf of Mexico unseen by civilized and Christianized man. The great Rocky Mountains towered to the sky unknown and unsung. Broad acres of the western prairie were uncultivated and unharvested. The cotton fields of Alabama, the wheat fields of Kansas, the gold mines of Colorado, and the coal fields of Pennsylvania, and the oil wells of Texas were undiscovered and unutilized. This vast, unlimited reservoir of resources were the possession of a few uncouth and untutored savages. This miracle of preservation is nothing short of the gracious purpose of God in reserving an adequate place for God to build a final and ultimate civilization. At last, a prepared people landed on the eastern shores of America. The clock of history on the walls of eternity struck the hour of destiny, and a new civilization climbed above the western horizon. From the smoldering empires of Europe across the watery waste of the Placid Deep in 1620, came our pilgrim fathers who believed in the open Bible. They landed in the Mayflower at Plymouth Rock, and there along the New England's rocky-bound shores laid the foundation for the greatest nation beneath the gleaming sun of day and the stars of night. American history reads like a romance, sounds like a doxology, and looks like a panorama of bewitching and bewildering glory. What Canaan was to the old world, America is to the new world. The God who led the children of Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night has guided and guarded America with an unerring eye and an untiring hand. There has been tense and crucial moments in our history, but God has blessed us and protected America. In the past, America has honored God. And God has honored America. The infant republic was born in prayer. The Constitution was founded in prayer. The Declaration of Independence was signed in prayer. The ship of state was launched in prayer. The Bible is the basis of our Constitution and the foundation of our government. The Bible is the source of our laws and the anchor of our liberties. Throughout the length and the breadth of our land, we find the signature and the handwriting of God. His words are written into our state papers, quoted by our statesmen, imprinted on our money, and echo the songs we sing and the literature that we read, the aspirations of our people. It is this, ladies and gentlemen, in the past, that has put character in our statesmen and courage into our soldiers, justice into our government, and conscience into our people. Yes, in the past we honored God, and God has honored us. But we have sinned and grieved this God that has honored us so. And yet, God is still honoring and blessing America. Every day that we live, He honors this land. The goodness of God is being poured out, that this nation would repent before the severity begins. God has honored us, but America has sinned. But God, a compassionate God of mercy and abounding grace, is still guarding and protecting and preserving America. One would have to be so blind as not to see light, so deaf that he could not hear thunder, so paralyzed that he could not feel an earthquake, to not recognize the blessings of God upon America. America is the flour barrel of the economic world, the arsenal of democracy, the greatest military power in the assembly of nations, the lighthouse of spiritual illumination of salvation for the whole world. America is the richest country in all the world. We have enough wood to house the world. We have enough coal to heat the world. We have enough water to irrigate the world. Hallelujah and amen. We have enough corn to feed the world, enough cotton to clothe the world, and enough sugar to sweeten the world. Thank God for the United States of America. Benjamin Franklin was dining with a small group of distinguished gentlemen in our early embryonic days. There was a gentleman present from England and one from France. One of the gentlemen spoke up and said, I propose that we toast. There are three great nationalities represented here this evening as we dine, and I propose that we toast each other. The first one to rise was the Frenchman, and he said, I am French. My friend here is English, and Benjamin Franklin is an American. Let of each of us propose a toast. It was agreed to. And ladies and gentlemen, we find that as that meeting progressed and the toasts were made, the Englishman rose first. He made the first toast. And here's what he said when he looked at Franklin, and the Frenchman held his glass up and said, here is to Great Britain, the sun that gives light to all the nations of the earth. The Frenchman was somewhat taken aback, but not to be outdone, he rose to his feet and offered this toast. Here is to France, the moon whose magic rays move the tides of the world. Benjamin Franklin then rose with an air of great modesty and said, here is to our beloved George Washington, the Joshua of America, who commanded the moon and the sun to stand still, and they both obeyed. Hallelujah. The story is told of a soldier boy, battle-scarred and homesick, on his way home in World War II. As the ship glided into harbor, the soldier looked up and saw the Statue of Liberty. And he said, old gal, I'm proud to see you. But sister, if you ever want to see me again, you'll have to turn around, for I never want to leave America one more time. Many years ago, a wise philosopher came to our country seeking the secret of the genius and the greatness of this great land. And here's his answer. And he wrote these words. I sought for the greatness and the genius of America in her commodious harbors, her ample rivers, but it wasn't there. I sought for the greatness and the genius of America in her fertile fields and her boundless forests, but it was not there. I sought for the greatness and the genius of America in her rich mines and her vast world commerce, but it was not there. I sought for the greatness and the genius of America in her democratic Congress and her matchless Constitution, but it was not there. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits aflame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and her power. America is great because America is good. If America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Yes. Think about it. I suppose it's because North America was settled by pilgrims in search of God, while South America was settled by soldiers in search of gold. From our humble, inconspicuous, unpretentious beginning, the 13 godly colonies became the greatest nation in all the world, composed of 50 states stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean, from the Great Lakes to the Gulf of Mexico. All this is beautifully and artistically revealed in the emblem, the symbol, the banner, the star-spangled banner, old glory, as she waves over the land of the free and the home of the brave. The American flag is the only symbol, and I want you to get this. The great American flag is the only symbol that holds this great nation together, this great republic, this great American flag.
Amen.
Now, this is the only symbol that holds this great republic together. In it, each one of the 50 states can see itself in its own particular star. in the 13 stripes of red and white, we may all see the struggling and hard-pressed 13 colonies out of which this mighty nation came. And I'd love to serve notice on this crowd and every other shack poke in this nation that this flag is not a rainbow. How some of these uncircumcised and heart devils can run up and down this land and the news media give them front page coverage and they'd run all over the world and hobnob with the devil and his crowd and go to bed with Castro and that bunch of uncircumcised heart rascals and then come back home and not be tried for treason. It's more than I can understand. Amen. The starry flag eloquently proclaims the birth and the life and the progress of this great republic of all times of all history. There's a history in this flag, children. Betsy Ross, out of a heart of love and laws and liberty, snipped and sewed the first American flag. The stars and stripes became the symbol of our unity, of our honor, of our ideals, and of our aspirations as a nation. Sleep on, Betsy Ross. And may your ashes rest in peace beneath the pure white gleaming stars. Let your weary fingers, which snipped and sewed the first American flag, rest in peace forever. And you generals and admirals and captains and lieutenants and sergeants and corporals and soldiers and sailors and marines and pilots and gunners who in nearly every land and all the seven seas have paid the supreme sacrifice of love and devotion to God and country, may God forever and forever bless your memory, those who paid the supreme price. Many of you buried in foreign lands and in foreign seas, we cannot place a flower upon your grave, but we can salute this glorious flag for which you gave your all, for which you fought and bled and died on land and sea to keep this banner flying. We can salute it. Yes, we can. God help us to see it. Let Egypt have its dagger. You know, on the Sharon, son. You know, on Egypt's flag, you have a dagger. Glory to God, I feel it too. Hey, thank God for the stars and stripes. Hey, mighty. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. Hey, mighty. Thank God. Thank God for the stars and stripes. Let Egypt have its dagger on its flag. Let Rome have its emblem. Let England have its Union Jack. Let Russia have its hammer and sickle. But for these United States, it's the stars and stripes forever. Hey, yes, thank God. It's the stars and stripes forever. Praise the good name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let it float not only from arsenal and masthead, but from tower and steeple, from public edifice, from temples of science, from dwellings and places of worship. Let us fly each thread of the glorious tissues of our country's flag above our heartstrings. And let us resolve, come will or woe, we will in life or in death stand by the stars and stripes forever. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. For the stars and stripes forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. These stars and stripes, this great flag that God gave to a God-fearing people, and we must fight to keep it that way. This flag has been unfurled, hallelujah, from the snows of Canada to the sun-kissed plains of New Orleans. It's been unfurled from Alaska to the Great Lakes. It's been unfurled from Mexico to the Canadian border. From the Golden Gate where the sun retires to bid the world good night to the ice-capped mountains of the north where the northern lights unfold in rainbow flames across the polar skies and kindle bonfires among the clouds. From sea to shining sea, it flings out the starry banner. the flag of hope, the flag of home, the flag of religious freedom, the flag that says all men can be free under God. Conceived in the womb of a freedom-loving nation, cradled to the tune of a free democracy, wedded to the principles and the purposes of justice and equity, America, no land in all the world is like thee. No government built on greater fundamentals, no people born to greater liberty and freedom, and no flag in all the earth more glorious. I think one of the dark spots in American history, always will be, one of the dark spots in American history is in the 1960s when that bunch of hippies, that communist loving, that bunch of Jane Fondas and Angela Davis and that bunch of devils stirred this nation in rebellion against God. And they sewed this flag on the seat of their britches. And they used it to sleep on. And they stomped on it and burned it. I'm telling you what's a God's truth. I get so stirred up. I feel like if God had come on me like Samson, I'd shake the devil out of him. Every time you desecrate that flag, you spit on the grave of that mother and father's son that died on the battlefield. That sailor that went down at sea, those boys that died in those submarines. Every time you desecrate that, you're saying to hell with you boys. You're a bunch of fools. You're sitting here enjoying the very liberty they died. You know how I feel about you? Under God, if you're here like that in the sound of my voice, I would to God we could put you in a box, line it with polecats, and send it COD to Moscow and apologize to the polecats. I do. I don't know whether the polecat kingdom would ever forgive us or not, but that's the way I feel about it. America, no land in all the world is like thee. No government built on greater fundamentals. No people born to greater liberty and freedom. And no flag in all the world more glorious. Hallelujah. America was built upon fundamental and unperishable convictions and principles. Thanks be unto God. As we associate beauty with the Greeks and civil law with the Romans and ritualism with the Jews, so we associate liberty and freedom with the United States of America. In 1620, this great land was a free soul. In 1776, it was a free soil. In 1812, it was a free seat. In 1863, it was a free people. In 1896, it was a free hemisphere. In 1918, it was a free democracy. And God grant that it shall ever be, thank God, the land of the free and the home of the brave. When we think of the millions today in Europe, behind the Iron Curtain, under the tyrannical heel of dictatorship, we should thank God for the American flag and the liberty that it guarantees all the citizens of the United States of America. We still enjoy in this country the inalienable rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. We still have the constitutional rights of freedom of speech, freedom of press, and the priceless privilege of peaceful assembly and petition for redress of our grievances. We have the inalienable right to vote for God, for home, and our native land. We have religious freedom. We can worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, and no man dare to molest or make us afraid. If any alien nation should capture the United States, it would take away the natural God-given constitutional rights and privileges of the people. How earnestly we need to pray. How earnestly we need to pray. Long may our land be bright. With freedom's holy light, protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Oh, how we need to pray that away. God, help us to realize it tonight, folks. America has been made great because God made us great. Today, we need guns in America. But we need God more than we need the guns. We need cannons, but we need Christ more than cannons. We need bombs, but we need the Bible more than bombs. We need powder, but we need prayer more than powder. We need tanks, but we need truth more than we need tanks. We need grenades, but we need the gospel more than we need grenades. We need atomic bombs, but we need the atoning blood more than bombs. We need cash, but we need Christian character more than we need cash. May we so honor God in America today that God will continue to bless America so that our children and our grandchildren and their posterity might live in the same kind of America that you and I enjoy and appreciate today. God bless America. What made America great? If you bear with me just a few moments, let us take the word God, make a brief acrostic out of what made America great. Under G in the letter God, what made America great? God's grace. God's grace. 1 Peter 5:10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory, the Christ Jesus. The grace of the Almighty God has made America great. We're justified by His grace. We stand in His grace. We're saved by His grace. We're elected by His grace. We're strengthened by His grace. We work by His grace. We grow in His grace. America, ladies and gentlemen, has been graced by the Almighty. What made America great under the letter G is God's guidance. Not only His grace, but God's guidance. And that's why tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we have that great song, "Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber ways of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy hood with brotherhood from sea to shining sea." Yeah. What made America great? God's guidance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What made America great? Under the letter O in God is old-time religion.
Yeah.
Old-time religion. No other nation under all the world was made great by old-time religion, but America was. You know the definition of old-time religion? It means like that of old times, pure, undefiled, and unchanged. It means, ladies and gentlemen, that we have returned to the God of our fathers, and we crown Him Lord of all. Praise the name of the Lord. America was made great under old-time preaching, old-time praying, old-time singing, old-time repentance, old-time conversions, old-time preachers preached until hell was angered, sin was exposed, hypocrisy was denounced, compromise was rebuked, the devil got mad, hell was painted black and fearful, and as the everlasting abode of the Christ rejectors and the liars and the drunkards and the whoremongers, the effeminate men and the hell-raising women. Old-time preachers preached until heaven bent low and man realized that earth had no sorrow that heaven could not heal. Give me the old-time religion. It's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? We could go on and on, ladies and gentlemen, but I want to give you the letter D under in the letter in the word God. I want you to listen to us carefully. What made America great? Ladies and gentlemen, under the letter D in God, America was a nation of doers. D-O-E-R-S. We did something about it. We accepted the challenge. We didn't sit down and twiddle our thumbs and say the world owes us a religion. Our forefathers came in and dug us out a place to live in this wilderness. What they didn't have, they built with their own hands. And what they couldn't get, they learned to do without. And they didn't complain, but they went to their log cabin churches and sang "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." They saved a wretch like me. They'd sing "How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord." Hallelujah. They did not give up. They became doers. We refused to sit and wait for others to feed us and to clothe us and to care for us. We dared hell and Britain and Spain and Germany and Japan and Russia and every other nation of the sun to stand on our toes and take our liberty. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now then, folks, I want us to do something right here. David, if you'll come, dear brother, I'd like for us to take this old flag tonight. And I want us to salute the old flag.
Amen.
And I want us to salute the Christian flag. I guess you need a couple of men to help you hold it, or one man. And praise the Lord. I wonder, before we give the pledge to the flag, could you lead us, Don, just in a stanza of Amazing Grace? That's what made us great. Just one stanza. Let's all stand and sing a stanza of Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Yes.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Praise the Lord.
Was blind, but now I see.
Now I want us all to give the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag, and remember mothers and fathers, grandparents, young people, teenagers, little children. This flag's got a history behind it.
Amen.
And you remember that we wouldn't have that flag had it not been for the grace of the Almighty God.
Amen.
Let me plead with you in Christ's name. Always honor God. And live and be a God-fearing, respectable citizen. So the flag will never be ashamed of it and all it represents. And remember that it's under these stars and stripes we have the greatest religious freedom of any peoples on earth. But the amalgamated forces of hell in our land are determined to take that freedom from us. I'd rather die fighting behind these trees and stumps and children shoot every bullet we had and use every stick, every rock, and then children use their fists. I'd rather die that way than to ever surrender to any other foreign power. Would you lead us in the pledge?
Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now could we, while you stand, could we sing one stanza of the Star Spangled Banner? Brother Don.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail as the twilight lands gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Just remain standing. We'll not be long. We're going to take another great flag.
Yes.
I believe it's the greatest flag in honor.
Yes.
And that's the Christian flag. Do you ever stop and think how many nations on the face of this earth, children, if they would unfurl that flag tonight, they'd be slaughtered and killed. But we believe in the old rugged cross. We believe in the God of our fathers.
Amen.
We believe, ladies and gentlemen, because of the Savior who died on the cross, we have our stars and stripes tonight.
Amen.
I'd like for us to pledge allegiance to the great Christian flag, Brother David.
Attention, salute, pledge. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior to whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe.
Now I'll tell you what I want us to do. How many, I doubt that there would be, but is there a man in this audience that would have been in World War One? I don't believe there would be. You'd have to be what? 80s, 90s, 90s, I guess. Wouldn't be a World War One veteran. All right. How many World War Two veterans do we have? You fought in, you was in any branch of service, I want you to come and stand right in front of the pulpit. All the World War, and Don, you can play some good old song, play some of the Marine, play, I tell you, let's do it this way. Let's have the, you know the Army song, Don? Just play. Anyway, if you're in World War II, we'll do it that way to save time. Just come on while he plays. If you're in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, whatever, in World War II, would you just come and stand across the front? Come on. Any more? Listen. Any more veterans here of World War II? I feel like there'd be more than this. Come on, men. We're not trying to embarrass you. We love you. We honor you. Just come and stand across here.
Amen.
Come on, brethren. We're not... Our hats off to you. We love you. I wish America would take that attitude again about fighting wars. We'd have never lost anything in Korea. We'd never lost anything in Vietnam. You turn some of these God-fearing Americans loose, say, let's win it, get it over and get back, they'd do that. All right, any other veterans? Do we have any Korean veterans? Would you come and stand along here with us? Any from Korea? We're not here to embarrass. We honor you. That's why we're having you come. Any from Korea? Are there any veterans here that was in Vietnam? Would you come? I'll use both of them. Hallelujah. You're big enough to whip them all. Amen. any others from Vietnam? Come on. I appreciate it, the veterans of Vietnam. I don't know of any group of men that ever fought under any harder circumstances than those men. My hat's off to them. That's one reason, children, I still think America ought to apologize to every Vietnam veteran if they don't try Jane Fonda and Angela Davis for treason and deport. That's right. And Martin Luther King throwed in. You know I'm telling you the truth. Boy, amen. Now I'll tell you what we're going to do. I want us to pray. And I want us tonight to ask God in mercy to send the Holy Ghost and seize America one more time. If God don't turn us back, folks, we've gone away from the God of our fathers. And we're way down the road toward our destruction. We've got a whole generation of children and young people that's never seen revival. And all that these dear brethren fought and died for. Children, it's being taken away from us every hour of every day here in America. It really is. Do we have any mothers here? Your son was in World War II or Korea or Vietnam. You're here tonight. Mothers or fathers. Let's have both of you, mothers and fathers. Are there any mothers here? Yes. And fathers, it was in World War II or Korea or Vietnam. Are there any mothers or fathers? Raise your hand if you're out there. I want you to come stand right with these. in front of them. While he plays some good old song. Come on, mothers and fathers. Are there any mothers or fathers here that lost a son in World War II or Korea, anywhere? You lost a son. Come and stand up here, folks. Come right on up front, honey. That's one thing I remember about World War II. Boy, after a while, wasn't long you'd go down the streets and then hanging in those windows, you'd see those gold stars. Boy, you knew it. One of the boy had been killed out of that home. Boy, what a... God, bring America back to her senses before it's too late. Bring her back to God. Any other parents? You had a son in World War II, Korea, Vietnam. Come and stand. We're going to pray this evening. Now I want all the preachers. Where are you? I want all the preachers. If you'll come, I want you to come stand right in front of these and look toward me, preachers. Come on. God's here tonight. I thought about another message, but God just kept nudging me and said, go this way. Preachers are lying across, face me. We're going to have prayer and then we're going to let you go in a minute. And folks, I don't know anybody that fights more battles really than a man called to God.
Yes.
The preacher's job is never done until he dies or God moves him out. And the conflict of the ministry, if God didn't help you, it gets unbearable.
Amen.
If you knew how many preachers resigned the churches last year and quit, if you knew how many had already done so this year, they say they can't take it. If you knew how many preachers were heart attack victims, if you knew how many preachers were nervous wrecks, having nervous breakdowns, it'd frighten you. We're in the last days. I'd love to see God come back on our land. If the fear of God would seize this land once more, I believe with children we'd have revival. But as long as the fear of God's not on us, we'll go on in our waywardness. And if we go on the way we're going, the severity of God, that means the judgment of God's moving in.
Right.
And I fear lest, children, this great nation that we love, these stars and stripes, can you imagine these stripes being hauled down and another flag going up in its place? Except this nation turn back to God. I want us to pray. I want every mother and dad to pray and every married couple. Bow your heads now. We're going to pray. Just before I do, is anybody in this audience say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I've never been saved. I want to be prayed for. You're lost or you're a backslider. You're not sure you're saved. Would you put your hand up and down and say, pray for me? Anywhere? Anyone? All right, anyone else? If you're lost, you're not sure you're saved, but you've known the Lord you got away from Him, we'd love to pray with you. I wonder if you'd just slip out of your seat, come down here and come right through these people. Come up here on the platform, kneel behind this pulpit and somebody will pray with you. Would you come while we wait? Then we're going to pray. Then we're going to pray. You should come. All right, now, as we pray this evening, I want to pray for these veterans and then for these warriors, these preachers. But before we do, this may sound strange because we're used to shouting it out and praising God, which I love to do. But I'd like for this camp meeting for just a few moments. I want us to bow our heads. And I want us to be still and know that He's God. I'd love for us to just bow in deathly silence. For one day, God says, there will be silence in heaven for a space of a half an hour. If we ever stand if we ever see Him face to face, we won't have anything to say. We'll fall on our faces and cry, mercy, God. Let's just bow. In those few moments of silent prayer, you search your heart. And you ask God whatever it takes in wrath, remember mercy. But please come down on America and turn this nation back so that these men will have not have fought and died in vain. God bless you now, Father. We have silent prayer just a moment. Our Father, as we call upon Thee tonight, we know not how to be thankful nor grateful for all that Thou hast done for each of us individually and then for this nation called America. We believe, Father, before You ever laid the mud seals of the earth, You ordained America. We believe You sent our forefathers with a hunger in their hearts to love and to serve God, that this nation might be built upon the Word of God. This nation might be built upon the fear of God and the honoring of God. And Father, Thou knowest from its birth, over and over and over, time and time again, hell has tried to destroy this nation. Father, we've had wars. We've had uprising. We've had internal problems. Lord, there has been decadence and there's been corruption. Everything that the devil and hell could do to break this nation, God, they've done it. But tonight, Father God, we will not take no for an answer. We ask Thee in Christ's name to come again. Come again, oh God, come again. As Isaiah said, rend the heavens and come down. Come down, oh God, come down. Come down on America. And let Thy holy fear seize this nation one more time. That from coast to coast and border to border, there will be a mighty crying to God, even as Nineveh did in that day when all the land repented and turned to God. Oh, God, we beg Thee for Jesus' sake. Please grant it. Hear our cry, O Lord. Come down. Come down on this land in the mighty power of the Holy Ghost till men, women, boys, and girls will feel such a presence of God and the fear of God will seize our land. That they'll sink down in the mills. They'll sink, as Lord, park the cars on the highways and sink down in the fields and cry, oh God. Oh, Lord, be merciful to me, God. Please, please, God, send revival. Save our nation, Lord. We ask Thee to put Thy foot on the neck of sin and hell and the devil and break it in this land. We ask Thee, O Lord, to put Thy foot down and God stop the tidal wave of communism and corruption and Catholicism and, oh Lord, homosexuality and lesbianism and, Lord, abortion and the rebellion against God. Lord, stop the tidal wave of hell. Put Your hand down. Turn it back. God, I pray You'll put a spirit of Holy Ghost praying on Thy children. That day and night they'll pray and fast until You come. Father, I want to thank You for these men that You've spared that stand here tonight. Veterans of the wars that took its toll on America. Father, while they stand here, some didn't get back. Some didn't make it back. We'll never see them again till we see them on that day when Jesus comes. But I thank You for them. And I pray, Lord, You'll help them to stand tall and never be ashamed that one day they went out and, Lord, went to the battlefields and fought for this flag. God, next to the Christian flag, it's the greatest flag on earth. Bless them and bless their homes and bless their family. And I pray You give them good health. And Lord, I plead Thy blood over their nerves and over their bodies. Make them strong. And Lord, be near to them. And then, Father, I bring to Thee this body of soldiers known as the preachers of God. Father, from the least boy to the oldest man in the lot, we plead Thy blood over them. Oh, Lord. The devil ever seeks to break the spirit of the preacher. Father God in heaven, I pray tonight You'd cover these Thy servants with the blood of Christ. Put Thy guardian angels around them. God, put Your wall of fire about them. Put Your hand under them. Put Your hand over them. Bind them, O Lord, to Thy spirit and side. And oh God, tonight I pray Thou would speak peace and joy unspeakable into their hearts. Anoint their heads with the oil of gladness. Help them to realize that Jesus has never lost a battle. And He'll not lose the one therein. Thank God, help to stand on the finished work of Calvary and shout loud hosannas, because our God is a conquering God. And I pray, God, you'd encourage them, bless them, work, bless their churches. Lord, God, give them Holy Ghost-filled churches. Give them a body of people that love God more than anything else. Give them a body of people that praise and fast. Give them a body of people that hates talking and gossip, that hates hell raising, it hates stirring trouble. God, give them a body of people that loves God and that realizes, oh Lord, any man or woman that breaks the peace of a little church, God will have to deal with them. If they don't repent, Lord, you said you'd deal with them in severity. And Corinthians said you'd kill them. Oh, God, help these men to realize their captain has never lost a battle. Bring them through it. Encourage them. Now bless every mother and father here tonight. The mothers and fathers, Lord, of the men that went out shot and fought for this land. Bless these parents. Lord, some of them, Lord, have been through heartache that they can never tell in this life. Bless them. Now bless these young people coming on and give them that love for Christ and that love for America and that love for the truth. Great God that our forefathers had. Raise us up a God, a generation that fears God and honors God and honors this land. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now you're at liberty to shake hands with each other and the other.